Okay, this is your hour. Phone calls and stories about the afterlife. Rosemary Ellen Guiley with us. And we'll come right back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Rosemary Ellen Guiley with us. Rosemary, earlier you said that some people have the ability to pick up these afterlife messages. Other people don't. What's the block there for those people?
Sometimes it may even literally be their grief. A profound grief can put a barrier, almost like concrete, around people, and it can be very hard, I think, for these subtle energies to get through. And in some cases, it may have to do with the mechanism of dreaming, and the dead have commented on that. And without going into details, just like, well, I can't get through because of the way that person dreams. Sometimes it could be conditions on the other side. You know, we don't really know exactly what every soul goes through in transition, and we've been told from afterlife messages channeled through dreams and through mediums that sometimes people go into rest states. They need rest and recuperation. Sometimes they're busy with things. They're going through their reviews, or they're with other beings, or having their own reunions. So a whole bunch of conditions have to fall into place for these dreams to take, for them to occur. And in any given situation, they could be quite variable in nature.
Rosemary, of course, wrote the book Talking to the Dead with Me, as we explored the various ways that people try to communicate with the other side. And of course, with your new work, Dream Messages from the Afterlife, that's another way to communicate, isn't it?
It is indeed. And in fact, I cite our work in Talking to the Dead in this book as a corroborating way that we get the same information. It comes through various ways. For most individuals, these personal experiences through dreams can be a very powerful validation carries a different sort of spiritual weight for them. But yes, the dead will reach out in whatever way they can to get a message across. And sometimes that's through the technology, like we explored in Talking Through the Dead, and sometimes it's through dreams.
Are you seeing any kind of pattern from people who are dreaming about something catastrophic with a lot of death? Has any of that come to you?
I have had reports of tsunamis and earthquakes. And within the time frame of about a year, anything from 9 months to about a year and a half, but about a year out. And nothing that I would consider to be like a huge pattern, but yes, I have been, these things sort of come in constellations, you know, waves. And I'm not sure what people are tuning into, because we have had waves of mass disaster dreams in the past that haven't borne out according to the specifics of the dreams, yet they seem to indicate some sort of seismic shifting, so to speak.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll pick it up by going to Christian in Los Angeles on the wild card line. Hi, Christian. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
It's good to see you. I've called in dozens of times. I've listened to your show in the past.
Thank you.
I think you do an awesome job. I just wanted to say, Rosemary, I just got off work about an hour ago, and I listen to the show every night. And I actually, just by accident, just, you know, tonight's show was quite interesting. I wanted to add my 25 cents to what you're talking about. My mother passed away. She was 45 years old, and unfortunately, she was a victim of pharmaceutical drugs. She was a drug addict, and that's how she killed herself, sadly. She had a lot of problems, mental issues, and it was very sad. I think, George, you actually had a show recently with someone who talked about how the pharmaceutical industry has just become a mafia.
Yeah.
But anyway, her death was very, very sudden, and it was a shock to the whole family. My mom and I were very close. And I can remember, I think it was the day after she passed away, when I found out that I had a dream. I'll always remember this all my life. And the dream essentially was my mother came to me to say goodbye. And the setting was that my mother and I were sitting on the steps outside of the apartment building where we used to live in Studio City. And there was this beautiful, in the background, this beautiful sunset as a background. And my mother was basically telling me that essentially, I know that this was a shock. I'm sorry to be leaving you, but don't worry about me. I'll always be with you, always be watching over you. And that was kind of how she was saying goodbye to me. And then about a week or so after the funeral, she spiritually came in to say goodbye to me, where I actually felt her presence in the room, because I felt there was a presence in the room, and there was another presence standing with her. And I've told people this, and it seemed to me that there was a spiritual shadow presence in the room. And the presence, I guess, standing right next to her, like the being, seemed to be very tall and apparently dressed all in white. Now, I've been told that this may have been Jesus. But the point is that my mother said goodbye to me, and I could actually feel her physically, spiritually. I could actually feel her hands caressing me and holding on to my back. And, of course, this spooked me. This, you know, and I was just scared to death. Like, oh, my God, this is like a ghost. And I jumped, leaped out of bed like a bat out of hell, and I was staying at a friend's house at the time. And my friend, who was very, very spiritual, I told him everything that had happened that night, and he said, look, it was Mom. She came to say goodbye to you. But the point is that my mom and I, as I said, were very close. I think of her every day. I miss her every day. And I just wonder, do you think that after all these years, do you think she still actually watches me, if you will? Does she look in on me to see if okay? Because sometimes I kind of feel like a presence, like I'm being watched. And do you think that, you know, when the time comes, do you think I'll ever see her again? Because, as I said, we were very close and tight-knit. And I just wanted to just kind of add my story to the show. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris.
George, you keep up the good work.
All right, my friend. Thank you so much. What do you think of that, Rosemary?
I would answer yes on all counts to that. That even though we don't have some sort of immediate evidence, and maybe even the evidence that we really want, that the dead are present around us or looking in on us or concerned about us, I think that those bonds continue on. And that they do maintain an awareness of us. And we do have those reunions. That's been validated in so many of these dream experiences and also in near-death experiences, where when we make our own transition, we will be greeted by the loved ones who have gone on before us. And that includes animals as well as people. Also, when people do make these reunion visits, sometimes they are accompanied by a spiritual guide figure, which might be a religious figure or an angelic figure. That also has been reported. All the elements in this dream, the touching, that's a very important component of these dream visits. People feel the physical contact. They hug. They kiss someone's cheek. They talk, but the talking isn't verbal. It's telepathic.
Right.
And there is often a very intense environment, a heightened colors, a beautiful setting, or something very familiar, but the atmosphere is highly charged.
If we are getting communications through dreams from good entities, right? People we knew, people we cared about, what are the possibilities of these demonic entities coming through on a dream state?
Well, there is such a thing called dream invasion, and that is well known in occultism and in cases where people have very severe spirit attachments or are in stages of some kind of possession, where negative entities can invade the dreamscape and create nightmare dreams. And these often involve horrible violence and emotional upset, very disturbing imagery. But many nightmares are like that too, just what I would call ordinary nightmares that are expressing our unresolved emotions. And so we can't look at those kinds of dreams automatically as dream invasion, but they would be part of a syndrome of things going on in a person's life that would point to that sort of unwanted presence.
East of the Rockies, Susan in Dayton, Ohio is with us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. Hey, my mother died in December 2012, and I have a lot of dreams about her. I have a lot of vivid dreams, you know, lots of detail. And a lot of times I'll dream that, you know, we're going to go shopping and that we always meet, you know, like in a downtown area, we'll cross the street. But for a while I was having these disturbing dreams where she kept coming to me and saying that she wasn't dead. And I would say, yes, you are. You died. And, you know, for a while she would come to me and she would be decaying, you know, and I'd be saying, you're dying. You know, what, you know, why are you, you know, she would say, oh, I got to take a shower. And I'd say, no, you're dead. Why, you know, and she keeps, you know, I had all these scary dreams where she kept coming to me and saying, no, I didn't die. And then I had one dream where she was in a waiting room, a big white waiting room, and she was waiting for my husband and me. She was wearing white, and it was like she was waiting, you know, to join us when we pass away. And I just can't get any messages from her. I miss her a lot. We were close. I took care of her before she died. She had pancreatic cancer for 5 months, actually 6 months. And I haven't gotten any messages, but I just wonder if you can tell me anything about these dreams that I have of her, if they might mean something.
I believe that many of these dreams should be looked at from a variety of angles, and one of them is from the standpoint of what I would call ordinary dream symbolism, that these elements in the dream and the kinds of things that are being communicated can be interpreted in a symbolic way for things going on within you or within your life. And if dreams repeat like this over a period of time, like I was saying earlier, it might be a good idea to explore them with a therapist. There are these other kinds of afterlife dream visitations where it seems like the dead need a little bit of help from us to make their transition. And they might express sentiments like not knowing where they are, they're lost or confused, or we see them in situations where they're kind of in a limbo state. Prayer is one of the best things that we can do for them, to pray for them to be whole and healed and fully transition to the afterlife. So sometimes when people die traumatically or their passing is very difficult or they die suddenly, these sorts of dream situations can arise. And I cover them in the book, too, examples where people feel that they have helped their loved ones make their transition.
Next up, let's go to our first-time caller, Brian in Houston, Texas. Brian, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George and Rosemary, it's a huge honor to speak with both of you, first off. My little brother, in 5 years ago, we were both big sport bike riders, and he was killed coming back from his wife's house about 5 years ago. And it tore me up pretty bad because we were like twin brothers almost. Yeah. And when he died, I really started spiraling downward and a lot of self-destructive behavior, a lot of drugs and alcohol. And probably about 7 months later, I had this really weird dream. It was so vivid and real. It was all white in the background. It was just me and him standing there. And I remember grabbing his hand, and he was a mechanic, so I could feel all the little bumps and textures in his hand, and I hugged him, and he smelled just like he always smells, and I could feel his hair and everything, and he told me, he said, Brian, you got to stop what you're doing to yourself, because I'm okay now, and you don't have to worry about me. And ever since then, I've been 100% clean, and I don't know, it was just one of the craziest experiences in my life. It really changed me. I still can't talk about it without getting choked up.
I love
but,
that.
I just wanted to share that about him because he was the most important person in my life.
Rosemary, what do you think of that? I mean, that kind of influence from the other side.
It does happen, and thank you so much, Brian. I can tell that that's a very still a very powerful experience for you. And I have some examples in dream messages from the afterlife of similar situations where the profound grief that survivors have gone through have literally plunged them into their own detrimental lifestyle. You know, where they're on this downward spiral, yeah. And then they have this reunion dream that's a literal turning point. That there's a power in these experiences that is able to make a shift that sometimes traditional conventional counseling doesn't get at quite as fast. And I don't mean to diminish therapy. It's very important, but having these dream experiences can sometimes vault things to another level. And I have had similar accounts of people saying, I stopped what I was doing to myself because of this dream experience.
Let's go next to Jim driving in North Carolina on the wildcard line. Hey, Jim, thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, George, Miss Rosemary, I hope you both are doing well this evening.
We are. You too, my friend. Thank you.
I have a couple of animal stories I'd like to tell if I have time.
Sure.
If not, I'll just tell the one.
Yeah, go for one first. Go ahead.
Okay, I had two Labradors. One was an older lab. She was about 13. The other one was a younger six. The six-year-old, she died of heartworms. And then about a month later, the older passed away. And I buried them side by side. That was in the fall. In the spring, I had a rose bush come up in between their graves. I didn't plant it. I have no idea where it came from. And in the spring, it had two roses on it. Well, every year for 4 years, I had the two roses. Well, that fourth year, I got another puppy. And when that puppy was about 6 months old, we were out one day, and she went over to the graves and laid down between them. And she did that for, 3 months. That following year, that rose bush, when it bloomed one rose and one rose only. And that just confirmed to me that there is an afterlife. It was like, the two labs were telling her, okay, you take over. We're handing him off to you.
Huh. Rosemary. That's a great story, and a pet story, nonetheless. We don't get a lot of pet stories like that.
It's a fabulous story, and this highlights another way that we get significant contact from our dead loved ones, whether they're animals or pets. We get these signs, and we know deep in our hearts what that sign means. And so sometimes people may not get the dream reunion that they would really like to have, but they get something else, which really is equally powerful. They get that sign, that synchronicity, the unmistakable mark of communication.
That's so important. Rosemary Ellen Guiley's book, Dream Messages from the Afterlife, and her website, of course, visionaryliving.com. Lots of people out at the UFO Congress, Rosemary?
Yes, it's always a good turnout here. The UFO Congress is one of the best in the field. I get a lot of research done here, too, whether I'm presenting or selling or just networking. I do a lot of research and interviewing here, as well as learning a lot myself. So always a good time.
All right. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with you in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we shall begin open lines here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, by the way, speaking of things unusual and strange, how about our television show, internet-based, beyondbelief.com? It's free for 10 days. If you haven't looked at it yet, I invite you to go to beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast. Rosemary, you did a great job with us on our Beyond Belief taping when we did that.
Well, thank you, George. I sure enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, especially with the Ouija board.
Oh, yes. How did you get that on a plane anyway?
I took it as carry-on luggage. It's the only way I trusted it.
Did you have to take it out and show it?
No, I did not, which was a relief.
I remember when the late Lloyd Pye was on the program, and he brought the Star Child skull, and he had to bring that through, and And then he drove. He drove the rest of the way because he just figured that it would be safer. It was amazing. I will miss him too. Let's take some final calls here for you, Rosemary. But before we do, where do we get your book, Dream Messages from the Afterlife, since it's right out?
It's available in hard print on Amazon.com and on my website, visionaryliving.com, and in ebook format on Kindle, Nook, iTunes, and Kobo.
All right. To the phones we go. Diego in La Hambra, California. Hey, Diego. Thank you for calling.
Hey, George. Thanks for getting my call.
Sure thing.
I remember listening to your program with the director of Avatar about dreams back in the day. It was an excellent program, and this one's very good, too. I'm obsessed with dreams.
Me too.
And my question is the following. I don't know if, Rosemary, if you've heard about this psychologist that had a patient, and the patient walked into his office, and she saw a picture of this guy. And she told the psychologist, "Oh, I dream about this guy all the time. I've been dreaming about this guy for years." And he said that was a picture that another patient of his drew. And she also said that she has dreamed about this guy for a long time.
Huh.
So they started this thing in which pretty much he let this picture out in the world. And a lot of people from Brazil to France to, you know, Africa, they have said that they have dreamed about this guy as well. So if you Google, have you dreamt this guy, on Google, his picture is going to pop up.
Yeah, and that's a strange thing. Have you heard of that story, Rosemary? We've talked about it before.
Well, I haven't heard this particular story, but dream telepathy is quite common. And in fact, I believe that people around the planet do share telepathic dreams. And this could be an example of significant dream telepathy. And what the significance is of dreaming of this person as opposed to evidence for the connectiveness that we have through dreams, I think it demonstrates both. But what's the significance of this particular man? I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is very, very strange. We go next to Jeremy in Alabama, wildcard line. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You are very welcome.
I was calling because I've heard people calling you about dreams they've had about their mom and stuff. And my whole life I've had dreams, but last year I had one of the most vivid dreams I've ever had in my entire life. And it was a dream I had about my best friend's mother, who I wasn't really close with. And what happened was I woke up on this island. And it was surrounded by the most bluest water I've ever seen in my entire life. And the waters, it looked like ice, like Alaskan type water, but it felt warm. And it was the first time I had a dream where I felt. And the colors were so vivid, it was like watching a painting. Well, in the dream, I walked up to a woman who was sitting on a bench, and she had blonde hair. She explained to me who she was in the dream and ended up being my best friend's mother. And the day I had this dream was the same morning she passed away from pancreatic cancer. And I can't remember the full conversation that I had in the dream, but I do remember that she was wearing like a white gown and she was wearing sandals. And there was boats that were coming up to this island, and the boats were kind of swirly and they looked kind of like a dry wood. And they had kind of Egyptian, the only way I can explain it is like Egyptian writing on the boats. But I couldn't tell you what it said. And these boats were coming, and there was people in them, even though I couldn't make out faces, and they were all wearing white. And, you know, I had a conversation with her, but I can't remember exactly what was said. But the dream was so vivid as far as the boats that when I woke up from this dream, I wrote down what happened, and I drew the boat, and I sealed it in an envelope. Well, you know, a few weeks later when my best friend's mother's funeral, I mean, when all that was over, I gave him the letter, and he opened it up, and he didn't say anything to me then, but, you know, a few months later, he gave me a call, and he couldn't get over the boat that I saw. He was watching a show, and he was like, "These boats are Egyptian," and he's the one who told me about Egyptian, because I don't really know about Egyptian culture. So I wanted to ask you, why wouldn't he have this dream, or why would I have a dream about somebody else's mother that I wasn't really close with? That was very bizarre to me.
This actually is quite a common experience, Jeremy, and I have many examples of it in dream messages from the afterlife where people have said, why did I get this dream instead of so-and-so, who was the husband, the wife, the son, the daughter? Why didn't they get the dream? This is an example of the message finding receptive person who can relay the message to the person it's intended for. Some of these dreams, they act like electricity. They find the path of least resistance. And for reasons that no one may ever know, she could not give this visitation to her son. It couldn't get through that way, but it could get through to you. These dreams always go to someone who is close to the person who needs the message. We don't get them about strangers, at least that we know of. People wonder, why is that so? They at least get the message, even if they aren't the primary recipient. Ships are a very important symbol of transition into the afterlife. And, of course, that goes back to even Greek mythology, the ferryman who takes the soul into the underworld. So all of those significant elements, the dressed in white, the island. The island is another symbol of isolation, it is separation from the mainland, which could be the land of the living, and a transition into the afterlife. A very powerful dream.
So this story about the man that everybody seems to be dreaming about, Rosemary, there's a picture of him under thisman.org, and it's weird. I mean, it's really weird. He's a creepy-looking guy. And who knows why so many people would be dreaming of him if they are, you know?
Well, I'm going to check into that and see what's going on.
Thisman.org. You can take a look at him later on. Next up, let's go back to the phones. We'll go to New Orleans. Kelly is with us. Hello, Kelly.
Good morning.
Morning.
George and Rosemary, I'm so happy to be here. And George, I just want to tell you, I'm going to talk about my mom. And the reason I listen to you every night is because my mother listened to you every night. My mom died when she was 89 years old.
Oh.
And she was blonde before she died. And so she listened to a lot of radio. And every night she had you on. So I just want to tell you that.
Oh, that makes sense.
But my mom died about a year and a half ago. And she was like my best friend. And I'm very upset. Just like Jeremy, like I didn't get like a message or a dream from my mom. My husband dreamed about my mom and my daughter. And I had a really, really hard time when my mom died. And I would pretty much like go to work, come home, and just go in my bedroom and go to sleep. And my daughter had a dream, which I thought was so funny, that she said, Mom, she came over like after mom died, 2 days after, she's like, Mom, I had a dream about Mimi. And I dreamed that she was in your house, and I happened to come over, and she was on the stairs, like, sweeping. And I said, Mimi, what are you doing here? And she said, I'm helping your mom clean up. Well, George, first of all, my mother never came over and helped me clean up. My mother would come over and, like, just like, what are we doing? Let's watch a movie, you know? So I thought that was so funny. And my daughter said, Mom, Mimi, you're helping mom clean up? And she goes, I'm going to help her for a little bit, but I have to go. My daughter goes, well, where are you going? And she said, I have to go to heaven. And my daughter said, Mom, it was so vivid. It was like I was there. Then like 2 nights later, my husband said he had a vivid dream that he got out of the room and he walked into my bedroom because I was really having a hard time. And he said, you were laying there sleeping and your mom was sitting there in the wheelchair next to you. And I said, well, did she say anything? He goes, no, I just walked in and she was just like sitting there next to you, like you had the TV on, like she's watching TV with you. So I thought it was so strange because my mother didn't come to me and I suffered so much, but two of my closest, you know, my husband and daughter, she did have a vivid dream with them. So I just want to share that.
That's a great story too, Rosemary. They're all over the place.
It certainly is. And another example of how the message gets through. and it finds the best possible mechanism for getting through. And if that were my experience, I would ask myself, well, what is it that mom is helping me clean up? There might be a message there, too.
That's right. My webmaster tonight, Tim, tells me that the man that everybody's dreaming about, it's a hoax story done by some marketeer. So just think about that. Maybe a hoax. Lots of hoaxes out there, Rosemary, huh?
Well, the internet gets used that way, unfortunately. Oh, but there is such a thing as collective dreaming and dream telepathy. And in fact, I do comment on Montague Ullman's views on that. He did a lot of research on dream telepathy. He was one of the leading figures in our understanding of dreams. And he talked about the collective importance of dreaming, that the human species shares dreaming in very profound ways, and that this is necessary for our survival and advancement as a species, not just for us individually. So we do have that element in our dreams.
Let's go to Jeff, Culver City, California. You got through. Hey, Jeffrey.
Hi, George, and hi, Miss Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Yes, I believe that the dead continues on after this life on Earth, but in the last 30 years, many movies and television series have been made on this subject about people communicating with the dead. For example, Bruce Willis's The Sixth Sense, Whoopi Goldberg's Ghost, The Ghost Whisperer, and this latest TV series called Resurrection. My question is this, Mrs. Guiley. Do you believe that certain government agencies have somehow found a way to tap into the subconscious realm of people who are sleeping and to make them somehow falsely believe that they're talking with friends and family members, and to try to siphon off whatever information they can glean from that information for their own purposes?
I have no direct knowledge of anything like that. There are always conspiracy theories going around about what various government or military agencies are capable of doing with our thoughts, our dreams, our emotions. But I can't comment on it from my own research because I haven't come across any evidence of that myself.
Rosemary, how did you get started investigating dreams?
It was through my own experiences in my family. And my mom was a precognitive dreamer, which was very upsetting to her because it almost always involved somebody's death. And she knew that these dreams were different from ordinary dreams. Precognition dreams have their own hallmarks that are unique to the dreamer. And people who have frequent precognitive dreams, they do learn to figure out their keynote symbols that mean, yes, this is really going to happen. And when she shared these dreams with me, I was an adolescent when she started talking about these dreams. And I was fascinated because the idea that dreams could look into the future, it was amazing. And it stimulated an interest that led me then to explore sending messages in dreams, receiving messages, going out of body. By the time I was in high school, I was experimenting on my own. I was doing as much reading and experimenting myself, and with a fair amount of success. Now, I have never had the level of precognitive dreaming that my mother did. My sister has had precognitive dreaming. My psychic experiences took other directions, like contact with various kinds of entities and clairvoyance and other kinds of perceptions of the unseen. But that's really what got me going. And it's been a lifelong pursuit for me. I think our dreams are very important. They contain truth. They are a mirror of truth.
They are.
They reflect back to us the truth of our lives, the truth of our feelings, and they provide information that helps us keep our balance in life.
Have you ever heard of dreams, Rosemary, where people wake up crying and they have no idea, they can't remember the dream, they don't know why they were doing it?
It's not unusual to not remember the dream. You're in a state of emotion when you wake up, but you can't recall the exact details of the dream. And sometimes those details can be recaptured through hypnosis or through a therapy session where people are kind of like walk backwards through to recapture any sort of fragment. But even emotions themselves are part of dreaming and can be significant to us. So we need to pay attention. And the more we pay attention, the more we benefit from what we're being told about ourselves and our lives through our dreams.
We have Lori now in Tampa, Florida. We can get you in here real fast. Lori, go ahead.
Hi. Good morning, guys.
Good morning,
thanks
Lori.
For taking my call. I just wanted to share a few things, and I'm really excited about this book because I'm going to run out and definitely order it. But my father and I were very close, and I guess you could say I'm very clairvoyant because way back when, and he was like 46, my father passed away. But a year before, I dreamt and told him that he was going to die. Oh. I woke up in the middle of like about 3 o'clock in the morning and ran and told him, you're going to die. You're dying. Because I had already noticed he was fading out of our family photos. And, huh. You know, and it's really strange when you're that age because you don't know. I had nobody to go to, and, you know, there was not any kind of material back then, but I knew I had some type of connection that I was very gifted. But my father did pass away, and within a month, as just Rosemary had said, you know, he came to me, and he was beautiful. And I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay.
And like he told me, don't cry because I'm not hurting, you know? And he's come to me several times, and he does visit. It's really, I haven't had any connection with him lately, but my mother and I don't talk at all. And I don't know if he's dealing with her, but I'm hoping when I read this book, it'll help me. Because, I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, because you think you're going crazy. That you don't, these things aren't really real. And my grandfather had that same dream a month after I had it. He had the same exact dream. We had talked years later, and he told me, he said, oh, my God. He just started telling me, and he goes, you know, I used to worry about your daddy. And he goes, but he came to me about a month after he died, and he was beautiful. And we both had that same dream. And that was his way of letting us know, I need y'all not to cry. You know, move on.
That's very powerful. Rosemary, I have only about 15 seconds left. I want to thank you for being on the show. But that thank is you. Very powerful, isn't it?
It is, certainly. And this demonstrates how important these dreams are. And they do help us maintain that emotional bond of love.
All right. Well, stay with us. Thank you, Rosemary. You take care and congratulations again on your marriage. I'll be back in a moment. Open lines on Coast to Coast AM.